cross-currency swap. Well, how ridiculous is that? I mean, if you're a multinational corporation and you issue in euros and swap it back to dollars, you know, the most perfect hedge I can think of is to do a cross-currency swap. Well, if you do that, you can't get hedge accounting for the cross-currency swap. You have to, there is a way to do it. The way you do it is you break the cross-currency swap into three different components, into two fixed rate swaps, and into a basis swap, and into a currency forward, which is kind of ridiculous. But that's something that I'm hearing.
Do your folks take quite a few trips to Norwalk just to educate the FASB?
Well,
are you really active in?
There was, yeah. I mean, Chase, as well as all the other financial institutions, have been very, very active and very, very vocal in terms of expressing. In terms of expressing their opinions in terms of what FASB should
and
consider.
And they did react from 162B. They did react somewhat to your concerns, it seems to me. They just haven't gone far enough.
Yeah, I think that they've come, you know, they've changed a lot from their initial. I mean, I remember in the initial proposal, you were not even able to get hedge accounting for if you swapped a callable bond issue. And that's changed, and that's something actually the home loan bank system, you know, put a lot of pressure on FASB about, because that would have just totally destroyed their whole. I mean, that's all they do, is they issue callable debt and they swap it. So that would have totally destroyed their business completely.
Would you say that you are anticipating mark to market, and you're just going to have to live with it in the future? You think that's going to happen?
I think FASB 133 is sort of an attempt to get to mark-to-market accounting in some aspects, but you've got a situation where, in some examples, you mark-to-market one piece but not the other, and that really distorts reality.
Yeah, that's largely a problem. I mean, one of the main problems with a lot of these things we've talked about today is it's asymmetrical. And
to a certain extent, that already existed in some of the disclosures in FAS 107, but nobody really, since it wasn't on balance sheet and it was separate distinct from the balance sheet, you know, nobody added it all together to look at it. But I agree with you. I think they're trying to get to, they wanted mark to market to begin with, and everybody resisted, so this was a go-between, and this is not a very.
What I'd like is some held to maturity relief, but it's hard to give that without making it abusable.
Well, but you could even argue in the held to maturity world, I mean, there aren't very many instruments that are held to maturity any longer. There are some, particularly in the loan portfolio.
Well, something like the Mexican one I mentioned this morning,
right,
because it's specifically tailored and nobody else had ever wanted except them and all this.
And
that's the thing.
But with those risks, because of the way the banks operate, so many of the, I mean, you can isolate risks in so many instruments and pool them and portfolio manage them, which makes it much more economic to do because they're cheaper to do it that way. And FAS 133 turns around and makes that almost impossible.
Yeah. The portfolio risks were one of these things that were badly abused, and we sort of shot ourselves in the foot with these abuses, and now we have to live with they're avoiding those abuses.
I don't think FAS 133, though, clears up even some of the abuses.
Some of the abuses in portfolios they did.
But even fair value. Macro. I mean, they don't define fair value.
No, fair value is off.
Do I mark it to bid? Do I mark it to offer? Do I mark it to the mid?
I agree. Fair value is awful, but it does do away with some of the real macro hedging abuses.
Well, that brings up a good example, right? Let's take the case of mortgage servicers, right? I also have been covering mortgage servicers for quite a while, and under FASB 133, they're going to have to fine-tune their hedges much more than they have in the past in terms of stratifying the portfolio and identifying specific assets.
Drilling down.
Right. Now, I can also show you study after study that will basically make it clear that is a much more expensive way of hedging. Much more expensive way of hedging. Because, you know, if you look at a mortgage servicing portfolio, there are a lot of benefits that you can get from looking at things on a portfolio basis, because it smooths out some of the risk. Okay?
Sure.
By forcing people to do more, this is basically, in this case, it's actually forcing people to do more hedging than they otherwise would. Okay? And that I think is a mistake as well, because it's going to cost firms more money to hedge, because they're not getting the benefit of hedging things on a portfolio basis. I had another situation with a client where they had a student loan portfolio that was indexed off of T-bills, okay? And so they had T-bill LIBOR basis risk. Under FASB 133, they would have to go out and hedge each one of those loans individually, you know, to get hedge accounting for it. And so they basically said, well, you know, we're not going to hedge it, right?
They can keep track of bad debts easier.
Right. But look at how volatile T-bill LIBOR spreads have been over the last year and a half. I mean, they went from the 20s and 30s to the, you know, to over 100 at one point this year. And that's real economic risk. Okay, that banks now, you know, are going to have to either basically bite the bullet and mark to market the hedge, or just leave it unhedged.
They'll probably mark to market, I would think, in some
way. I think in a lot of cases they've left it unhedged. In most cases they've...
That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But
no, but you know, they would prefer to do that.
Then take the hit.
Then run the risk of not being able to meet earnings expectations, mm-hmm. because they feel that they'll be punished. And you've seen it time and time again, just with U.S. Bank Corp, for instance, right? They were punished in a big way. Nat City, I think, did the same thing last week. National City Bank, First Union.